Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
Welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Weekend Rewind, April 19th. We got Nate with us today. Nate, before we get started, I'm going to give a little rundown on the college game. Iowa State men, 14th at the Arizona State Thunderbird Invite, led by Lachlan Barker, 72-70-74. They'll be next up at the Big 12 down in Kansas, Nate. We'll talk about that, too, a little bit down there at Prairie Dunes. So Iowa State women, they are currently at the Big 12s. Carlton Woods down in the Woodlands, Texas. First-round play was yesterday. They are currently tied for 8th after opening round play, and they're just getting started this morning when I looked. I think they maybe played 3 or 4 holes. The Iowa men hosted their own invitational, and we had staff and volunteers over there doing rules, so we'll dig into that a little bit more later on in the episode. But they captured the trophy at their own invite by 5 over Kansas University, 12-team event. Alex Shockey defended his title from 2019 with a 204 score. 12 under par, 65, 68, 71. The University of Iowa women were 14th at the Indiana Invitational. Leah Zietler led the Hawkeyes with scores of 77, 75, 75. As like I said, they gear up for the Big Tens next week. The Drake men were also at the Hawkeye Invite. They finished 11th, led by Shane Patel. 69, 78, 76 for Shane. They will be next up at the Missouri Valley Conference Championship in Chicago, April 26th and 27th. The Drake women were off, and they are currently playing at the Missouri Valley Championship of their own down in St. Charles, Missouri. The University of Northern Iowa men were 7th at the University of Nebraska-Omaha event. Griffin Parker led them with scores of 76, 73, 78. They'll be next up at the Missouri Valley Championship, as well as UNI women, who were 3rd at the University of Nebraska-Omaha event. Emily Snelling and Hannah Bermel led the Panthers with a 3-day total of 234. And they are also currently at their Missouri Valley Championship down in Missouri along with the Drake Bulldogs. So, Nate, a good weekend. Got to see some good golf and was fun to get out and kind of get back on the tournament trail.
Weather cooperated, saw some good golf, and thought everything went pretty smoothly.
Yeah, you know, from a rules perspective, you know, we didn't have too many issues. It was really, perfect viewing weather, you know, I mean, for us to sit there and, you know, and observe, it was really a perfect week. So, you know, thankfully we had an opportunity to get out there and play afterwards and kind of get a taste of what those guys were facing. And boy, they had, I mean, that golf course was just in great shape. And I mean, I'm sure the greens were probably some of the best putted on, you know, I think they're doing some pretty cool stuff over there.
I agree. I wasn't over there Saturday, but I was over there Sunday and just impressed with the way those, you know, all the teams got around that course, because it was not easy. I mean, the rough was healthy. The greens were running slick. Hole locations were daunting, I thought. I mean, were fair, but there were some where you had to know what you were doing coming into the green for sure.
No, it shows what those guys, you know, to see the scores that were posted by a lot of those teams. I mean, it's, you know, very impressive. And it's funny looking back, I mean, playing there myself, you know, 10 years ago or so. I mean, it's sometimes you wonder like how you even did it sometimes, but it was great to watch and seeing the Hawkeyes pull it off again. It got a little closer at the end with Kansas. So pretty interesting. I was refreshing my page a lot, just trying to see, you know, how it was going to turn out, but they held on and I think they won last year as well. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah. I think 2 years ago, cause I don't think they obviously hosted.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So yeah, I mentioned earlier, you know, Alex Shockey defended his title, but it was a title from 2019, but still a title defense. And he played well, out distances his teammate Maclear by a couple of shots, but those two guys put on a show and a lot of good scores, a lot of really good scores for for the, as tough as I thought the golf course was, you know, and I mentioned earlier, Kansas finishing second, you know, Jamie Bermel's got that program headed in the right direction, you know, all of the above. So even finishing second, I said, Jamie, I'm sure wanted to finish, you know, win the tournament, but heading into the Big 12s and shooting a 3-day score of, you know, 19 under par, he's got to be happy with the effort, I thought.
Yeah. Those are two programs that have obviously always, you know, they're always kind of got their guys in the right spot. So it's good to see. I'm sure it's a great way to tune up for Prairie Dunes, which is, going to be this coming weekend and next week. So,
I didn't get a chance to talk to Jamie, as some of you may or may not know. He grew up just down the road from Iowa City in Sigourney. So it's probably kind of special to him to, you know, come back and bring back a team that's competitive, and, you know, probably gets to see maybe a little bit of family, maybe Saturday night or something and like that. So that's always good to see Jamie back in the state. And he's a fierce coach. You know, I admire that in him. And, but I know he does a great job. He's done a great job everywhere he's gone. So always good to see those guys back and playing.
Yeah. Now you knew him from kind of back in your day when you were coaching at Central, correct?
So, yeah, he played at Central, obviously, way before I did, but always knew the name and got to know John, his brother, Bermel, who's up at UNI. And, you know, I'd always say hello to Jamie when I saw him. And he's always, you know, been supportive of the Central program, and, you know, would ask me how things were going and stuff like that. So I've got to know him a little bit and, you know, talk to him about stories from, you know, days gone by. And because, you know, that was before the Boss Landon days in Pella. You know, they were playing the country club, you know,
for
tournaments and being pretty, you know, very successful at the Division III level. And, you know, I remember him and Ron Peterson telling me about how they used to win the Drake Relays event, which used to be a huge event, you know, back in the day. And it was funny. I'd say, well, you know, you play in the country club, you know, and then you'd go to nationals and, you know, you'd finish in the top 10. And it's like, yeah, you know, we weren't any slouches, you'd say. And, you know, just funny. So, but yeah, I've known Jamie for quite a long time. And he's done a great job with his coaching career. He was at Colorado State and obviously was at Drake for a few years. I can't remember where he fell. Did he coach Zach Mee for a couple of years? I can't remember exactly how that fell.
Colorado State, you said?
Yeah, he was at Colorado State. I know he coached Martin Laird at Colorado State.
Actually Kirby Pettit, who played, you know, who's a Carroll native. Everybody probably knows the Pettit name in Iowa, but yeah, Kirby played for him. And they had a good team. I mean, I remember playing against them there as well. You know, he's had a lot of success, so it's cool to see. And Coach Stith over at Iowa, you know, is really putting on, you know, doing really well too. In Marquette, I ran into Steve Bailey, who coaches at Marquette, who he actually came to Iowa State when I was at, I think I was going into my junior year. He actually came and helped run the Iowa State golf camp. I got to know him there. I mean, just a great guy. And so seeing him, you know, I haven't heard a bad thing about him from any of his players. Everybody just seems to love him. And I had a great experience with him there. So kind of cool to see him there as well and doing well. And Drake actually competed as well. So, you know, seeing Coach Lewis and his guys is always great. And a lot of those guys come and play in the summer, play a lot of our events in the summer. So, you know, always want to root those guys on too.
Yeah, a lot of familiar faces over there, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. And then Creighton, you know, being right down the road, you know, got a nice program as well. So,
well, I'm gonna ask you about Prairie Dunes and the Big 12s, but before we get there, Nate, I want to remind our listeners: Iowa Mid Amateur is going to be at Finkbine. Deadline: you got about 10 days to get entered into that. Deadline is the end of the day on the 29th. Give the listeners or those that are going to be playing kind of what are they going to see when they get to Finkbine?
Well, I don't want to give away any of my secrets.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to be playing as well. But I will say, you know, I can tell you for myself, I'm going to be practicing my putting a lot just because, you know, as we both saw yesterday, I mean, I kind of forgot how fast and slopey those greens can get. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be working a lot on my putting, but yeah, it's, I think everybody's gonna have a great time there. It's you know, the new clubhouse. I should mention, if you haven't been there, the clubhouse, as you remember, you know, was kind of an old brick building, and the Hawk's Nest was kind of up above. And but they've completely redone the clubhouse. It's like a $10 million clubhouse redo, and they've kind of shifted things around a little bit. So it's going to be kind of cool to see. And I'm sure everybody will have a good time. So I'm excited to get that started. That's kind of that'll be my second event of the year. Cause I know the Classic is going to be coming up May 1st and 2nd. And that'll be fun to get everything, you know, started up there, and then, you know, head right over to the Finkbine for the Mid-Am.
Yeah. I think it'll be cool to see some of those guys that maybe haven't been over to Finkbine for a couple years. I mean, I hadn't been there for probably a few years myself, and just the work they've done over there and the clubhouse. And I mean, it's just a different feel. I mean, it was always a really good golf course, a good test, but I think the participants in the Mid-Am are going to be in for a treat.
Yeah. And actually when they're on the sixth hole, they should take a look over at, University of Iowa's new practice facility. They have a really nice short game kind of wedge area that they're building, and it's cool. It's great to be at a golf course where, you know, a university plays, and just to be around those guys, it definitely kind of gets you going again. So I mean, kind of gets your juices flowing when you see some guys that are kind of in their prime and you know, wanting to be champions. So so fun
place to be. Yeah, I would say
that's coming from a Cyclone. So
yeah, I was gonna say that's saying something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Aside though, I think obviously fairways are gonna be critical in the Mid-Am. I think you're gonna have to hit the fairway to attack some of those greens that, you know, you want to get on the proper, you know, tier, or, you know, be able to, you know, spin the ball to stay below the hole. I would say it's a course where you're going to have to kind of pick your spots, but it's not necessarily, you know, this hole or that hole. I think it's just kind of what position you're in. You know, if you're a little bit out of position, you might want to just play, you know, middle of the green, stay below the hole, you know, two putt, get your par and get out of there, where, you know, maybe you've got a wedge in your hand and you feel like you can, you know, put something close. That's where you attack. But I think it's something where you're going to have to be on your toes all 18 holes, because I don't think there's not a gimme hole out there. There's a few shorter par fours, but you know, they have some danger working, you know, just off the fairways or with, you know, fairway bunkers or greenside bunkers. And, you know, like I said, the rough is healthy, and I think it's going to be a good test for the guys. Now, with that being said, I think there'll be some low score shot. I think it's a course that you know, you can get after, but I think it can jump up and bite you just as easy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The scores will be very dependent on, you know, if you get good weather, like we had this last week, I mean, it could be a, you know, it could be a race, but you know,
but it's also going to be the Mid-Am. So it could be
that's about right. Anything, couldn't it? That's right. Well, looking out the window right now, we're getting snow.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, yeah, it is snowing outside. So I guess, yeah, that's kind of I was telling Caitlin earlier this morning, I was like, well, it is almost Mid-Am time. So, you know, you can't really, you know, expect anything less.
Yeah, that's right.
So going back, like I mentioned, the Iowa State men are going to be heading down to Prairie Dunes in Kansas. You and Chad are going to be going down there for rules. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. This will be my first opportunity being an official for the Big 12. I always thought that was something neat as a player for that event, is that they always gave you know, your group always had a rules official assigned to it. And so that's actually, and Chad, when I was playing, actually was assigned to my group a few times. And I remember my first year as a freshman, I was so nervous. You know, we're around, you know, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, yeah, all these guys. And, sure. You know, and I'm just, you know, from Iowa, you know, that's what I, you know, and I'm basically starstruck and I'm just nervous. And I remember talking to Chad, and I'm walking down like the walkway between the tee and the fairway. And I'm like, you got to calm me down, you know? And I kept telling him, I said, you got to, you know, say something to calm me down. I said, I'm, you know, I'm nervous. And he just kind of laughed and was like, I can't say anything like that. But, but, you know, knowing you had a guy that you knew from back home, it sure helped having him assigned to your group, because it was intimidating back in the day. But looking at it now, I mean, it's going to be a whole another experience being on the opposite side as a rules official and you know, just a super demanding golf course, you know, there's no let up, no let up. And, you know, I'm thankful I'm not having to play. I really, you know, I'm definitely excited to be there though. It's going to be fun.
I was just going to say Prairie Dunes, one of the classic courses in the country. What would you maybe compare it to, if anything, that our listeners might know of, or maybe, you know, can you kind of describe it in a short summary? I guess I always hear like it's always windy there. It's always windy. It's a difficult course. What would you say about it, I guess?
Yeah, gosh, it's I've never really played anything like it. It's like I said, there's just not a single bit of let up out there. You got elevated tee shots, but you know, you got fairways that are, you know, pretty narrow, and then they're flanked by, you know, waist high fescue that basically, if you hit it in it, it's a lost ball or it's an unplayable situation. So, you know, and then you're dealing with the central, you know, the prairie winds from Kansas, you know, those are strong and might be 10 degrees colder and blowing, you know, 30, 35. And so it's a challenge, but, you know, the greens are small, you know, they're kind of the same guy who designed Vinker designed Prairie Dunes. And so some of the Vinker's original greens, you know, like you think of number two, number three, four, you know, 11, some of those holes, those small greens that have, you know, little shelves and a lot of slope, you know, that's kind of how Prairie Dunes is, you know, just little greens, lots of slope. You know, then you get wind and they're all elevated. It's just a challenge. And the team that wins usually is always, I mean, they're the team that deserves to win it and played the best. So I think, it's going to be fun.
It sounds like you just can't slide by it at Prairie Dunes. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, that's right. I think I shot like an 83 there one day. I grinded about as hard as I could.
If I would have gave up,
it would have been like 100. So it's one of those courses that you're basically, you got to grind so hard just to sometimes stay in it, you know, just to not break, you know, not shoot 85, but it's kind of, I've always kind of said it's a rite of passage, you know, everybody kind of has to go through it. And, it's a true championship golf course. I mean, it's going to reward the best team, best players. So, I think it's a cool spot, you know, they're for a player's first time to arrive there and see it. I mean, it's pretty special.
Well, Nate, we got also a couple, going to be our kind of first event that we're going to run. It's going to be the U.S. Open local, qualifier over at Beaver Hills Country Club in Cedar Falls. The deadline for that is actually approaching just here in a couple days. It's going to be April 21st at 4:00 Central Time. And that's a hard deadline by the USGA. So make sure if you haven't signed up for that yet, want to make sure you get in. I talked with Chad earlier. You might have been on the pod too, Nate. I always like that one because you see guys that maybe you don't get to see the rest of the year from the local, you know, some of the section pros that we don't see. And then you have some of the mini tour guys. So I'm looking forward to getting over to Beaver Hills. And it's always a kind of a fun event to kick off the year for us.
Yeah. I agree. It's great seeing the professionals on the other side. So if you don't get in, just like Clint said, you know, it's a hard deadline from the USGA. So if you got any complaints, call the USGA and, you know, we can't help you.
Don't leave Nate or Ben a message that you couldn't get in. Cause we gave you a warning. Right?
Yeah. I would if I could, but I can't. So
a couple other deadlines. I just want to mention why we're on here, Nate. The Classic is coming up. April 26th is the deadline for that one. And the, Southeast Iowa Amateur, is June 2nd. The Classic is at Elmwood. Southeast Iowa Amateur is at Preserve down at Lake Rathbun. Both really good events to start off the year on our additional point event schedule. And like I said, if you want to get in those, get online. There's online registration for both of those through our website. If you just go under tournaments and then additional point events, you can get signed up for that, for those. The Classic is a
Stableford event.
Stableford, yeah. I wanted to say modified, but it's not modified. It's a Stableford event. So you know, you get in a bad start on a hole, you can just pick up and go on to the next hole and, you know, Don't have to have a score on that hole, which is kind of nice
way to start the year, you know, and everybody's kind of still getting their, maybe they're trying their new equipment or haven't played much. It's a good way to start the year.
That good stuff. So yeah, get signed up for the Classic and Southeast Iowa Amateur. If you're thinking about it, don't wait too long. Like I said, April 26th for the Classic is the deadline, June 2nd, get a little more time on that one. June 2nd for the Southeast Iowa Amateur. Well, Nate, I appreciate, as always, chatting with you, and we'll look forward to talking with you maybe after the Big 12s, kind of recap what that was like down there. We'll get probably Chad on there too, and you guys can give me the lowdown of Prairie Dunes.
Yeah, we're actually going to be playing it, I think, hopefully the day of the practice round. So we'll have a little idea of what those guys are kind of dealing with. So yeah, it'll be fun to talk about it.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, Clint.